Okay, so we are on page 113, chapter, what is that, 19? Yeah, chapter 19. And it's titled Death, Not Eternal Life and Misery. And so if there's anybody listening on WTBR that watched the video and had questions in regards to, what do you mean about hellfire not being for all eternity, stay tuned and you'll find out. Or go to my page on the website all about it. There's an awful lot of Bible verses that the wolves will not share. You know, I'm going to get a little bit more frequent. I'm going to give more frequent use to the term wolf, I think, since we're so close to the end. And, you know, when I think about John the Baptist calling them, you know, a brood of vipers and stuff like that, you got to tell it like it is, to let the people know, let them, you know, warn them in advance kind of a thing. Because there's a lot of pastors and preachers out there that will put on that, you know, that gentle persona, you know, like the way Jesuits do it. And be all nice and gentle, and then, you know, they got dragon breath and teeth and all that stuff, and they want to kill you, you know, eternally, not just, you know, mortally. They want to kill you eternally. That's why, and I mean that with every nuance of my being when I say that, because I've read sections of, there's no way you can read the whole thing, Fox's Book of Martyrs, because, it'll knock you back a couple of paces. But I've read in some areas where the Catholic prelates, you know, the cardinals, the bishops, the priests, or some other civil pawns, if you will, because in some areas they didn't have the ecclesiastical power, if you will, so they would go for the civil power because it was a church and state thing, you know, just like the 501c3. And so they would... give people an option. Like, let's just say you're slated for the stake. You're going to be burned alive. And but they say, oh, well, but if you recant, we will burn you. That's all they'll say. And the person figures, okay, I'm like that fake article. It looks like it's fake, but they're acting like it's legit, where that one girl says, I love Jesus, but I denied him. Front page yet. They put that up there. Because they plan to be trying to force people to deny him in the coming days. And so they would, you know, so the people would figure, okay, I'm gonna deny Jesus now because it's not the mark of the beast. You know, you deny Jesus at the mark of the beast, that's it, you're done. There is no repenting later like these people thought that they could do. Like, you know, like if they don't recant the Jesus of the Bible for the Jesus of Rome, they say, okay, we won't burn you at the stake if you recant. And if they recant, and then some big old priest would sneak up from behind and just strangle you to death, guarantee you damnation. So they don't just want to kill you mortally. These demon-possessed men want to kill you eternally. That's how much Satan hates Christians. And so they'll trick them into recanting, making them think that, you know, later on you can just confess and repent of it and you'll be a Christian once again, but if we judge you, you know, that kind of thing. But no, they won't even let them get out of the room. It's really, really sad the way they did this to these people, so many of them. But going on, starting rather, death, not eternal life and misery. This is what it says, page 113. Oh, and for those of you who don't know, it's the 1858 Great Controversy. If you need a copy, just email me. Satan commenced his deception in Eden. He said to Eve, "Thou shalt not surely die." This was Satan's first lesson upon the immortality of the soul. And he has carried on this deception from that time to the present and will carry it on until the captivity of God's children shall be turned. I was pointed to, and by the way, this is why right after I did, I think it was the Mark of the Beast. Yeah, the Mark of the Beast video. I did the Antichrist video and the Mark of the Beast video. And then the Lord sent a woman in the faith, literally out of the blue, to send me an email showing me some statements in Sister White's writings. This was around the time that I started realizing that Sister White was a prophet. And showed it how Satan's going to use the state of the dead to manipulate people. So that's why I made that state of the dead video, is because I wanted to put it out there in plain and just simple terms. And then hellfire has a little bit to do about it as well. So anyway, it says, I was pointed to Adam and Eve in the Eden, or Adam and Eve in the Eden. They partook of the forbidden tree, and then the flaming sword was placed around the tree of life. and they were driven from the garden, lest they should partake of the tree of life and be immortal sinners. Now think about what she just said here. She says, I was pointed to Adam and Eve in Eden. Okay, we already know she's in vision. And no, I do not believe in a time machine. But I believe in the power of our God and his ability to reveal things unto us that happened in the past in ways. Okay, let me just put it this way. Mankind didn't need books up until Moses' day. That's why he put forth, he was told by the Lord, you know, to do the Torah. You know, the first five books of the Bible written by Moses. Because if you just handed it down from generation to generation, the human mind was sharp as a tack. Today, we don't use hardly any of it. And our brains are considerably smaller. Anywhere from 50 to 65% smaller. Because we're going to be anywhere from 14 to 16 feet tall. Well, at least that's what it was on planet Earth before the flood of Noah. And yeah, you're not going to find this in any school books, especially public school books or any religious history books. But it is a basic fact. I've got a page on the website of a femur from a human that if you drew the human body around the femur, the guy is 16 feet tall. It's on my creation and evidence page on the website. And Dr. Carabal goes into a lot of detail about this. But the fact of the matter is that I'm trying to. Maybe there'll be a better way of figuring this out in a minute here, but let's continue. Well, for me to share this anyway, but the tree of life was to perpetuate immortality. Okay. Thank you, Lord. You know, like when I say like the time machine kind of a thing. And this is just my opinion. I'm not going to put it out there as if it's scripture or spirit of prophecy, but I'm thinking when their sins are shouted from the rooftops, we'll already have been, you know, 1,000 years in New Jerusalem. You know, the city is descending from above, and if we are worthy, we're in it. And the wicked are being raised from the dead, and they're going to be allowed to be alive for a season, a little season. It could be like a short lifetime. They'll surround the city and do what they do, all that falderal. But then their sins are shouted from the rooftop. But that's like a prophetic utterance kind of way of saying it. But think about this. If you're going through the books to vindicate Christ, because everybody's been judged. People that aren't going to heaven just are still on the planet, rotting away. That's why Beelzebub is named Beelzebub, the god of the dung. They're just rotting all over the planet, right? So they're just laying there. And so they've already been judged. They're worthy of damnation. So that part of the judgment's done. There's just two parts of the judgment left to go. Vindicative judgment and executive judgment. Vindicative judgment says, and this, again, this is just my opinion, but I always wonder, you know, like, let's just say one of my kids don't make it, or one of my siblings don't make it, or somebody I love doesn't make it home. And I'm just racking myself silly trying to figure out why. Especially if they're somebody that I thought was a Christian. And then I'm allowed to go through their books. And I got 1,000 years to go through these books. Plus, I have a glorified body now. I've got the right size brain now. Whether I'm growing as they do like calves in the stall, as it says in the prophecy. Because I know children are going to grow like calves in the stall. I mean, little kids are going to be, what an amazing blessing to have a child stillborn. A kid gets to grow up in heaven. And you get the seed if you make it there, you know. So what an amazing blessing. I mean, the child's being cared for in death, if you will, not really cared for, but just sleeping. And you're going to be able to have, that's amazing. But anyway, so you go through the books of vindication to vindicate Christ. In other words, by the time you go through these books and you realize that your loved one really did not want to go, we know Jesus. Those of us that have met him know Jesus is going to do everything he possibly can to reach them because he did that for us. And when you see all the times and multiple times a day, let's say, or like if one of my kids don't make it and I'm sitting there thinking they had, or one of your kids, let's just like say if some of you are straight preaching or doing a heavy work and everybody knows you, let's say, kind of a thing, or the Lord is using it, let's say. Well, I would imagine he's using all of us. The Lord loved them enough to put them in a family where they're in the final church. They have the real truth now, and they still blew it off. And so you're going to sit there racking yourself and trying to figure out why? So when you go through the books, again, this is my opinion, you go through the books and you see with absolute clarity, day by day, with a glorified body, which has a bigger, better brain, you see it all. And whether it's books where it's written down, because the angel with the inkhorn does that, or it could be panoramic view kind of a thing because, like with Revelation, it's a pictorial language. And so thoughts can come to mind. Just like with any of us, when we read the Bible, when you're reading it, you'll see pictures in your mind sometimes. It's just going to happen. And so that all being said, you've been doing this for 1,000 years. Okay, at the end of the 1,000 years, all their sins are shouted from the rooftop. Or could it just be that everybody in the city knows what they did? And we have clarity of thought, absolute perfect memory to be able to see it as if we were there, as if we had a time machine. And that's kind of like what I'm thinking about what's going on here. I went all the way around the tool shed to get to that part, and rattled the walls and got the tools fall off the shed walls. But it just seems, because I know there is no time machine. I know the Lord didn't have, Ellen White go back into time and actually see all this happen. Or did he? I don't know. Well, I guess I can, we can ask him when we get there. But it could just be the perfect clarity of thought, which is, he made your brain. And so whether it's, the mortal or the immortal brain, he knows what synaptic passages to light up to get you to see this in the same way we're going to see it at the end of the 1,000 years, let's say. And so she could easily see when she says, I was pointed to Adam and Eve in Eden that they partook of the forbidden tree. She's looking at it like she's watching on a screen, or she's actually there. And I think that's just awesome. that's why I had to share all this, because every time I think of these visions that she's had, or these dreams, and some of us have had these dreams too, and you know what I'm talking about, like you're there. It's like the term lucid dream it doesn't even cover it halfway. It doesn't even, it's what mankind comes up with. It's just like there's no real word for cold. We had to make up a word cold because there really isn't anything cold. Science has proven it's just the absence of heat. And so, because heat, there's always an energetic heat somewhere. Even in the vast spans of space, they see, there's so many kelvins below zero. Yeah, but there's still some heat there. There's just an absence of heat to that point. So they made up a word cold. Going on, the tree of life was to perpetuate immortality. I heard an angel ask, who of the family of Adam had passed that flaming sword and had partaken of the tree of life? I heard another angel answer, not one of the family of Adam had passed that flaming sword and partaken of that tree. Therefore, there is not an immortal sinner. Isn't it? Now, that's a comforting thought when you think about it. And that's what I was talking about towards the end of the video. So it's like if you accept Jesus Christ the Savior, I think these are the last few things I mentioned in the video, was he'll give you the perfect peace, even though you're on this this violent dying world. And he'll give you that perfect peace. And then when you go home to heaven, it's the norm. Because down here, you can actually experience this perfect peace because of Christ. And the only reason there's a lack of peace is because of Satan trying to mix the works up, right? But in heaven, he ain't there. There is no immortal sinner, like she said. It's just like it says in, can't remember which verse it is, but I put it in the video too. There, this transgression will not rear its ugly head a second time. The affliction will not rise a second time. In other words, once Satan dies, that's it. There is no second event in the history of Christianity throughout the universe that we're going to have to go through all this again. No, once it's done, it's done. This is why it's taken as long as it is, so as to make sure every T is crossed, every dot, every I is dotted. So going on, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And it's not just about dotting the I's and crossing the T's. The Lord loves us, and he wants to make sure every single solitary person has every chance that they can possibly have to make it home. Keep that in mind, especially when we get close to when they're starting forcing the mark. I mean, did you see that they just announced the Democrats are, and I imagine the Republicans are having no big of an issue with this either, a seven-hour debate about climate change? And this on the tails of an article that just came out. As a matter of fact, I finished the video last night. I didn't cross the T's or dot the I's right yet. So I was going to do that this afternoon after I did the, you know, the updates on the site. And that article came across my desk where, case closed, global warming has now been proven to be a lie by the scientists, right? So I put that article in the video really quick towards the end of it, right? And but they're still going to push that seven-hour debate because just like with where the Pope, wait, let me get this here. I just got a text. I'm hoping it's good news because I've been praying about this. Oh, yeah, Nahum 1:9. Thanks, Brother Eli. But this is. Okay. Keep Severin's daughter in prayer, by the way. She just woke up, I guess, out of anesthesia and all that, and she's doing better. So, anyway, let's get back. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. An everlasting death, a death that will last forever, where there will be no hope of a resurrection, and then the wrath of God will be appeased. That's why I put that big old planet made out of dust, planet Earth, where they took all the water, they sucked all the water out of it using a computer, and it just looked like a big old ball of dust, but you could still see, you know, the continents, if you will. And it's pretty neat. And I put that up so as to bring about what the prophet Malachi said in regards to we're going to be walking on the ashes of these people at the end of it all. So it's clear, the soul that sinneth it shall die an everlasting death. But Satan has been saying since Eden, like she's saying here, that ye shall not die. And this is why you got Satanists today that think they're going to reign with Satan in hellfire. I knew people like this. You know, it's just so stupid. If you think, I remember the one time I was interviewing a couple of guys that wanted to work for me. And this is right when I was starting to get back into the truth, I think, or right into the truth, rather. They were long hairs. You know, we used to call them long hairs, heavy metal headbanger guys, you know, long hairs. And right in the middle of the interview, I stopped and I said, you guys are into demons, aren't you? And they both, it just shocked them. I said, man, how'd you know? I said, well, before I was a Christian, I used to mess with them too. And I got to tell you, if you think demons are cool, you got to see what angels can do, the ones that ain't fallen. You need to get out of that. And boy, they both left there without any blood in their heads. But the thing is, I was able to plant a seed, but it was neat to see the discernment. It was nice to see how it affected them in a positive way. Yeah, I don't have any doubts about that, Brother Anthony, that... And Fran and I were talking about this earlier, that they can use Dorian, this hurricane, as a way to push climate change. Because we know they're going to do it. We know the science is bogus. We know there is no such thing as global warming. It has nothing to do, even though there is climate change. It's obvious. But that's the way it looks when you look at the prophecies, that how Jesus said, this is how it's going to be right before I get here. You know, the earthquakes are going to increase, storms, and then the birds, the insects, the fish, the animals, everything's dying, you know. But they'll say it's climate change. And so I guess you could say, just by that definition, yeah, that's what it looks like. If you're not a Christian or never read a Bible. And September 4th is the debate. Isn't it about the time it's going to slam into the eastern seaboard there in Florida? So I could, like Fran and I were talking about it earlier, I wouldn't put it past him to chemtrail the daylights out of that thing. You know, with the aluminum dust, like they did in the Philippines. And Craig told me about this. They told everybody when that typhoon came in that it was going to be a supercell and all, you know, worst typhoon ever before, right? I don't know if Eli remembers this or if anybody here remembers this. But the news was that they didn't lose anybody, no one died, or there was only 3,000 people that died in the flood. But Craig was telling me the eyewitnesses in the air, because he's in the Philippines. So he says the eyewitnesses said that it looked to be upwards of 30,000 people were, like a tsunami came in from this, you know, the storm surge, and it just dragged all these people out into the ocean, and they all died there. But they didn't put that in the news. That was seeded. It was obviously a seeded hurricane. And what I mean by seeded is like there's an old YouTube, maybe 10 years old, video of a weatherman showing a map and doing the thing about here's all the, you know, the weather's coming and we're going to have a storm here or whatever. And he's ex-military, Air Force, in fact. And he says, oh, and this stuff up here, all these lines and stuff like that are appearing up here on the eastern or western coast, like up in Washington State and stuff like that. And he goes, no, that's not weather, though that's military exercises. I know I used to do it. He says this on the camera in front of everybody. Yeah, and then you use HAARP on top of it. Yeah, they're going to seed the daylights out of it and then, you know, and then cause all those trumpet sounds that... Because, you know, people say, oh, what's with all the trumpet sounds? And in the atmosphere, it sounds like the trumpets are coming from everywhere. That's because they're stretching the atmosphere. There's going to be some kind of noise in respect to that. That's my opinion. All right? But you put that aluminum and the barium stuff into the cloud and you seed it into a hurricane where the vacuum end of it is, it's going to grow. Especially if you heat up the water under it. And you know that's easy to do from space with a laser, right? So you can just heat up the water under it because we have that technology now. And then HAARP, just swell that area, you know, just bulge the atmosphere just a little bit, and you can double the size of that hurricane. And then, boom, climate change, piece of cake. Now you can really sell it. Even Trump will fall for it then. So, anyway, going on. She says, it was a marvel to me that Satan could succeed so well in making men believe that the words of God, the soul that sinneth it shall die, mean that the soul that sinneth it shall not die, but live eternally in misery. Now, here's another thing. People think, well, how could people fall for that? Well, for the same reason Catholics fall for, you know, where the Bible says, don't call any man on earth your father when it comes to teachers. You know, because you got to call your dad father, right? So when it comes to teachers, don't call any man on earth your father. But not only do they call every priest in the Catholic Church a father, they call the Pope Holy Father. They blaspheme right out of John 17. Jesus, I mean, one time in the whole Bible, Jesus uses the term Holy Father in John 17. That whole chapter is a prayer. He's talking to his father, his Abba Father. Abba, daddy, if you will. It was a term of endearment, Abba. And so... if you can get a couple of billion people in our generation alone to believe it's okay to use the term father when the Bible speaks, and that's just one thing. I mean, look at the Sabbath itself. Ain't a Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation, even if you put in that Catholic and conspired or contrived apocrypha. There's not a single solitary verse from Genesis to Revelation to back up the fact that the Sabbath should have been changed to the first day of the week. And that's why I did the video in regards to how important God's law really is to him. It's not just his law. It's under the seat he sits on. It's in his throne. Ark of the Covenant, throne. He sits on the law. How can Satan change it? He can't. But he can make us think he can. Just like in Eden. You shall not surely die. But in fact, they contracted a fatal disease called aging the minute they took that fruit. But again, they never heard a lie before. Just like I'm assuming, because I wasn't there, the angels never heard a lie before when Satan started doing his thing before he literally fell from heaven, or was kicked out, rather, from heaven. So going on, it says, said the angel, life is life, whether it is in pain or happiness. Death is without pain, without joy, without hatred. Satan told his angels to make a special effort to spread the deception and lie first repeated to Eve in Eden. Thou shalt not surely die. And as the error was received by the people, and they believed that man was immortal, Satan led them still further to the belief that the sinner would live in eternal misery. Then the way was prepared for Satan to work through his representatives and hold up God before the people as a revengeful tyrant. And let me I'll go to the end here. So that those that who do not please him, he will plunge into hell. And that's what he says, you know, eternal misery. And that's why the Vatican was moved by Satan to invent purgatory as well as eternal life and hellfire. See, that's what I was trying to explain to that atheist decades ago when I was still a Sunday keeper. And he came up to me and says, I don't want nothing to do with your God, a God that will put somebody in hellfire, make them scream at the top of their lungs for all eternity, and he kind of gets off on that and makes them happy. That's not the kind of God I want to worship. I says, well, you just fell for the oldest trick in the book. And I showed him, you know, the ashes thing and the wages of sin is death, not eternal life and fire. And but whether he believes it or not, I don't know. But that's just the way this world is. They literally think that God is a tyrant. And some people say, well, why doesn't God stop them? Why doesn't God just, you know, put it out there and show everybody that Satan's lying? He did. It's called the Bible. But nobody wants to read it. And so that's another reason Satan went after the Bible. And like the old prophecy of the Old Testament and New Testament, you know, the defiled bread prophecy, or as we call it today, bogus Bibles, you know, where there's thousands of verses missing. Yeah, that's... See, he's not going to go after it unless it's a threat. Think about that. I mean, seriously. Especially if you're atheist and you're listening to me right now, be it later on a recording. Think about this, sir or madam. Think about this. If Christianity is really a joke, why are there over 44,000 denominations? And they'll go, well, because you guys are a bunch of idiots. You can't get your act together. No. Think again. It's because that's where Satan is focusing his attack. That's why there's over 44 different denominations, 44,000 different ones. Because look at the Muslims. What do they got? 3 factions. Buddhists, I think 1. Atheists, you're on your own. And you do have a holy day called April Fool's Day. Because he always wanted a holy day. I remember that article. I laughed out loud when I heard that judge say what he said about, you know, to that atheist. Because, oh, we wanted our own holy day or holiday. Says, you got one. It's called April Fool's Day. Because anybody that says God doesn't exist, the Bible says is a fool. So you got your day right there. Case closed. Boom. Gavel fell. But see, that's the thing. But they don't look at the big picture. They can't look past their own nose or their own idiosyncrasies or their own, you know, biased opinion or they don't want to believe kind of attitude. Because it's clear. Or just look at the cross of Christ. You know, granted, in the Seventh-day Remnant Church, you're not going to find a crucifix or a cross anywhere. Not on our bodies, not on our churches, nor in our homes. But all the other churches, yeah, they don't know that's morbid. You know, so, you know, God winks, it's no big deal. But look at the Satanist. He takes the cross and turns it upside down. Why? Because it's a threat. Because of what happened on Calvary. Do you see him doing anything like that with any kind of the icons that come out of Buddhism or Islamism? No. Yeah, why does he always go after the Christians? Think about that, sir or madam. And email me. So anyway, going on, let me backtrack a little bit. They think that if they don't please God, he will plunge them into hell and cause them to feel his wrath, and that they will suffer unutterable anguish while he will look down upon them with satisfaction as they writhe in horrible sufferings and eternal flames. You know, see, that never... I remember the one time I was in prayer, and it wasn't long after that someone came up and asked something in regards to the same kind of thing the atheist said about hellfire and God, and how can he be a loving God? And I'm sitting there, come on, do you really believe that? I mean, seriously, let's just say you do make it to heaven, and everything is beautiful and peaceful and loving and gentle, and everybody's got smiles all over their faces, and it's just nothing but bliss, heavenly bliss. And you're walking down some wooded path. Jesus comes up on your side, and he starts sharing his love with you and his truth with you. And butterflies are landing on you. Birds are fluttering around. And, you know, bees are landing on you. I mean, it's just, you're petting a tiger and a panther. I mean, it's just nature. Everything that he created is just perfect. But then you look in the distance and you see the smoke rising. You can, and it's got like a stench to it, and you hear all these people screaming. And you ask Jesus, what's that all about? Go, oh, well, you know how your mom didn't make it here, or your little sister, or your little brother? Yeah, they're in there screaming at the top of their lungs. They're in excruciating pain. It'll never end for all eternity. Because I kind of like to hear that. Does that sound like Jesus? Seriously, because that's what they think. That's how they believe. That's how they've been taught. That's Rome. That's Satan. That's what he wants. He wants everybody to think that God is that hateful. But that's not what it is. He's even merciful to the lost. Some of them, the Bible says, if somebody finds that one verse about the vapor, put it in the room if you do. But some people are just going to be a vapor. Others, yeah, their eyes and their tongues are going to melt in their holes because they're going to burn a little longer. Satan, oh yeah, he's going to burn a long time. Sister White even goes into detail in regards to how, even if it's just a little ember, like a little piece that's falling off the edge of a lit cigarette, and it's still burning, like for another half hour or so, like it's towards his end. It's as if his whole body is still burning. He feels every bit of it because he deserves it. And that's why he tries to get you to keep on, you know, repeating your confessions for your sins. Because if he can get you to think you haven't been forgiven, then the sin is off him. It's on you now. Because now you just called your Father in heaven a liar. Because 1 John 1:9 is clear. You've been forgiven. Going on, Satan knew that if this error should be received, God would be dreaded and hated by very many instead of being loved and admired. And that many would be led to believe that the threatenings of God's word would not be literally fulfilled, for it would be against his character of benevolence and love to plunge beings whom he had created into eternal torment. So that reminds me of it. There's a movement out there right now that still does that too. Like, God is love, which is true. And he'll never throw anybody in hellfire. No, that's not true. You can't change the Bible any more than Satan can change God's law. Because then you would have to defeat God himself. You're going to have to get him off that throne somehow. To get the mercy seat off, you know, to open the lid, get the Ten Commandments out there, get a chisel that supersedes that how God wrote into there, and change the Fourth Commandment, if you will, just on that aspect alone. Can't be done. So you can't change the Scriptures when it says sin begets death. Can't change it to sin begets a tummy ache, or sin begets eternal life and hellfire. Sure, you could twist the daylights out of Bible verses and make it look that way, and that's why I addressed it in that page on my website called Is Hell for Eternity? Going on, Satan has led them to another extreme, to entirely overlook the justice of God and the threatenings in his word, and represent him as being all mercy, and that not one will perish, but all, both saint and sinner, will at last be saved in his kingdom. In consequence of the popular error of the immortality of the soul and the endless misery, Satan takes advantage of another class and leads them to regard the Bible as an uninspired book. You know, how many times have we heard that? It was written by man. Really? Explain how some of these guys never met each other, lived thousands of miles apart, and thousands of years apart, but yet they write the same things down. Really? I mean, it's just like when we meet people that believe like the way we did. We don't have a Seventh-day Remnant president. We don't have a Seventh-day Remnant pope. We have Jesus Christ as the leader of our church. And that's why when we run across people that... I just got another email the other day from, where was this one from? Malaysia. Same exact page we're on. Never met the guy. It's just like with the people in Uganda or other areas of South America or even Africa, I mean, or even Europe. There's people all over this world that believe exactly as we do, and we've never met them. That's not a mistake. That's a God in heaven. It's just like what Elijah, I guess, he couldn't figure out the one day when the Lord had to tell him that he had 7,000 prophets or 7,000 that did not bow to Baal. Elijah thought he thought he was all on his own. So going on, they think it teaches many good things. You know, the Bible, oh, it's uninspired, men wrote it. They think it teaches many good things, but they cannot rely upon it and love it because they have been taught that it declares the doctrinal eternal or the doctrine of eternal misery. See, that's where Satan wants to hang his hat. Let's see if we can do another one. Yeah, let's go a couple of minutes over because I was a couple of minutes late with messing up with the recording. So it says Satan takes advantage of still another class and leads them still further to. And we've seen every one of these, by the way, brothers and sisters. I would think most of us here, you know, from the person that says that no one goes to hell to the other person that says the Bible is just written by men. She says Satan takes advantage of still another class and leads them still further to deny the existence of God. They can see no consistency in the character of God of the Bible if he will torment a portion of the human family to all eternity in horrible tortures, and they deny the Bible and its author and regard death as an eternal sleep. Kind of reminds me of the Sadducees, because the Pharisees believed in the resurrection, but they didn't. The Sadducees didn't. So then Satan leads another class who are fearful and timid to commit sin. And after they have sinned, he holds up before them that the wages of sin is not death, but an eternal life in horrible torments to be endured through the endless ages of eternity. See, that, you know, I remember when I was a kid, my mom gave me this death card. And it wasn't made out to anybody, but she says there are some people that would probably have this as their death card because it was a painting on one side, you know, because a lot of people have dedicated their lives and given the Vatican billions and if not trillions of dollars worth of artwork that they have made for them, you know, completely free, like Michelangelo. I think he just got a salary and some vittles, but his work is priceless. And but it was the most grotesque. And being an artist myself, I kind of didn't. It didn't hit me as hard as I guess it would hit other people that didn't know that, yeah, I can draw that. But because I just thought it was pretty good art, but the thing that got me was there was one part of the painting that hit me kind of hard because I was hit in that one place before when I was young, you know, by the bullies. And if I recall correctly, but it was a bunch of people, not disembodied, but they were all naked. You know, paganism has a problem with that. So, of course, Catholicism will have naked statues and paintings. And so they're all naked, and they're floating in fire. And the devil and his minions are on the edge of their lake of fire, poking them with pitchforks. And these pitchforks have these arrow tips on them, if you will. But because you can't die in hellfire, the pain that the pitchfork inflicts is far superior to that of had you just been gutted by a pitchfork in your natural life, like where it goes in and you bleed and you die. These pitchforks continue to pass through your body without breaking the skin. And so picture it, if you will. And they got all these different figures of people being hit with these pitchforks, and they're, you know, the trident type with the arrows on them, with the long pole and the demon is shoving it up against the body of a woman, and it's hitting her in the chest, and it's just stretching. Like you see out the back of her body, these points of the pitchfork are going through her, but the skin ain't breaking. And she's screaming at the top of her lungs. This other guy's getting it in the gut, same thing's happening. It's just stretching his skin all for like, you know, 2-3 feet away from the body. And the legs and then the face. But this one hit me. It's like, oh, that's got to hurt. It was the pitchfork was hitting the edge of the eye socket. You know, like if you've ever been punched in the eye where you almost break the eye socket, that's painful. And like the edge of the eye socket. And it's stretching that out. And I'm thinking, oh, that's got to hurt. But it was just a painting. And I didn't take it as being serious. I just thought, well, that's kind of weird, you know. And then I, in one of my videos over the years, I got some actual paintings. No, I'm sorry, sculptures that are in some Catholic church. It's like a cathedral type where they have this big old huge display of purgatory and amazing artwork. But at the same time, it's amazing lies. It's all it is. People in fire. This is one of the things that Luther was dealing with, too, in regards to all that, trying to explain to people that it's just all a bunch of lies. There's no scripture to back it up whatsoever. But if you don't read, see, that's where the rubber hits the road when it comes to Catholicism, and it's where the rubber hits the road when it comes to Protestantism today. Because people out there keep it sunny holy because they don't read Bibles. But they have a Bible. They can get a Bible in their native tongue now, legally, without being murdered or burnt at the stake for it. But back in the day, during the Dark Ages, and it was dark because there wasn't no light of truth being legally out there, and people had no access to the Bibles, and the Bibles that they did have access to, they were chained on a pulpit in the church, and the pulpit was just tall enough to where you couldn't reach unless you were on tiptoes, if you were tall enough. And it was in Latin. So if you could read it, you couldn't understand it because Latin's a dead language. So they made absolutely positively sure no one had any way of knowing. The priest just lied to them about what happens when you die, right? So going on, it says, Satan approves the opportunity and magnifies before their feeble minds the horrors of an endless hell and takes charge of their minds and they lose their reason. Then Satan and his angels exult. And the infidel and the atheist join in casting a reproach upon Christianity. They regard these evil consequences of the reception of popular heresy as the natural results of believing in the Bible and its author. That's so sad when you think about that. But let's see how much more she's got to go in this. Just one chapter here now. Oh, she's going to go on for a little while. A few more. Page 119 is where she ends it. And this is, we're only on page 116. But let's stop here because she starts up another topic here. She says, I saw that the heavenly host was filled with indignation at this bold work of Satan. And that's something where we can really dig into next Friday, or Sabbath Eve, rather. So that's the bottom paragraph, page 116. So let me write this down. Page 116. Okay, yep, I did it right. Bottom paragraph. Spelled it right, too. Superbius. Okay, if you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Yeah, amen, Brother Jay. Most Christians actually do believe hell is eternal torment. It's so strange. And I think that's why a lot of Satanists join into that crowd, because they figure, well, we're going to reign in hell with Satan. Satan's laughing it up on that one. He says, no, you're going to die with me, is what he's saying. But he's not going to tell you that. He can use you, though. I mean, look at guys like Aleister Crowley, or even guys like, what's his face? He was a singer. Oh, he's still alive. Ozzy Osbourne, yeah. And he said, because I used to read Hit Parader when I was a teen, and he said that he can use God and Satan at the same time. If I want to do evil, I'll pray to Satan. If I want to do good, I'll pray to God. And I had a laugh even as a teenager. I says, that is the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Because in both cases, you're going to be using Satan. Because you can't play games like that with a creator God. Are you kidding me? And I wasn't even a Christian. I mean, I was a Catholic, but I wasn't. I mean, we were devout, but we didn't know anything. It was Catholicism. So anyway, if you can please bow your hearts if you've already kneeled. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for blessing us in the Word. And thank you for giving us the inspired writings of Sister White, and even prophesying in the book of Joel, and repeating it later in the scriptures that in the last days your daughters shall prophesy, and there isn't a single woman out there that's done as she has. And so we thank you, Father, for blessing us in that respect, and giving us eyes to see, and an opportunity to actually see prophecy fulfilled in her writings, just from her being the way she was. And thank you also, Father God, for blessing everybody on our prayer list again, especially those that were mentioned in the text chat earlier. And everyone that's having difficulties in life, bless them with even more peace in Jesus, and love for each other, even those that come against them, or us, for that matter, because we're constantly under attack. And we thank you for that, too, because it solidifies our faith and makes us realize that the enemy doesn't get angry unless, of course, we're doing the work. And so thank you for blessing the work and give us the hedge of angels, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and bless us with the light of rain. If we are so worthy. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your precious Son, our ever-living and ever-loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.